You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It's May.
I'm so excited. I love May. May's a good month.
May-sember, as I like to call
May-sember.
It. May-sember, because it's not December, but there are as many gatherings and events and like festivities in the month of May.
Graduations, birthdays, just birthdays. A few.
You have a birthday this month.
I do, and a graduation.
All those things, yes. Sometimes confirmation happens in May.
I was confirmed in May time ago.
All those fun things. It's Mental Health Awareness Month.
Yes, it is.
All kinds of things happening in May. It's also the month where we take a look at the subject of law and gospel in our confessions reading plan in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness. We're going to talk about that with Pastor Finner in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at cune.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Brady Finnern, president of LCMS Minnesota North District. He's also host of Concord Matters and has put together a fantastic reading plan for us, taking a look at the Lutheran Confessions, giving us some reading for each week in the month of May. Pastor Finnern, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Well, happy May to you. This is a month my daughter is graduating from high school. So yes, a lot of big things happening this May. Thank you.
That's a big deal. Congratulations to your daughter and congratulations to the parents as well, because you know, parents play a key role in kids actually making it through high school and graduating, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's important. So I think we should congratulate parents just as much as kids who graduate. So let's talk about our topic for this month. In the month of May, we're looking at the concept of law and gospel in the Lutheran Confession. So what are the readings in the confessions we're considering this month?
We're in Epitome Article 5. And this one's a shorter one. A lot of those actually in the Epitome are quite small, but it is something, once again, that I encourage our listeners every month, readers, I should say, to just be able to read, mark, and evenly digest the depth of what is being said. Because as Lutherans, you know, we have this from C.F.W. Walther's writings back in the 1800s about the importance of the distinction of law and gospel. It is really well crafted in the 16th century about the importance of saying we need the law, we absolutely need the gospel, and therefore, how do we make sure we're making that distinction for the sake of the soul care of all who hear, not only when we go to church, when our pastors preach, not only when we're taught by our Sunday school teachers or our commissioned workers, and when we care for others, but also in our homes, of how we make sure that we're not just giving our children, our spouses, law, but that we're also giving them the sweet gospel that our Lord has given to us on account of Jesus. So that's my encouragement to all of you to take it. Maybe you read it, like, for example, in week one, you read page 484, just that first section. We read it every day. That's one option I've been thinking about. Actually had one person contact me and say that's what they're doing. But also I have a section in the small call articles, which is what Luther wrote. He thought it was at the end of his life, ended up being about 8 years prior to when the Lord brought him home. But it's very well crafted by Luther when he writes just what is the law? What is the gospel in Articles 2 and 4 in the small cult? So it's a lot of good stuff. I really think it's very simple as far as basic content of it, but the craft of it for the baptized Christian every day, not only hearing, but also proclaiming, is just a craft. It's a lifelong endeavor, a tapestry, if you will, of making sure that we're keeping everything in accordance with God.
I feel like proper distinction of law and gospel is a very classic Lutheran thing. We like to talk about law and gospel and making sure they're properly distinguished. Where do we find this in Scripture?
Very good. Well, I mean, the real basis of when you think about it in general is from 2 Timothy 2, where Paul writes to the young pastor Timothy, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." So that's the challenge for each pastor as he preaches. How do I rightly handle the word of truth that the Lord has given to me? It's one thing to have a Bible on your nightstand. Walther speaks about this quite a bit in classic writing he has, Duties of an Evangelical Lutheran Synod, is he speaks about everyone believes the Bible, but are we actually proclaiming it correctly? This is the challenge he has for all of our commission workers as well. Is how do you make sure that we say we believe it, but that we'll teach in accordance with it, rightly handling the word of truth? And we would say all of Scripture is distinguished as proper distinction of either law or gospel. So the law is important to show us how to live, Romans 7. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. We also know that the chief office or force of the law is to show us our sins. This is Romans 6. For the wages of sin is death. It accuses us. It shows us our need for a Savior. And then we're going to talk about, by the way, next month, the third use of the law, which is going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to that a lot. But we also remember the gospel, because the gospel is everything. It's like a canopy over the whole thing. It is God's grace is showered upon us, the central, most important teaching in the scriptures. Romans 6:23 continues, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 5:9, since therefore we have been now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. So instead of us receiving the wrath, all that wrath was put upon Jesus. And probably one of my favorites, of course, this is like me saying that child is my favorite, you know, but my favorite passages in scripture, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. These are the truths that we proclaim boldly and make sure that everyone is continually pointed, like John the Baptist did, back to Christ.
We mentioned earlier that this is very Lutheran, mm-hmm. if we were to describe like this concept of law and gospel. I'm just curious, and this is totally not in our plan for today, but do you see this in other traditions or other confessions? Are you familiar with other traditions or confessions that really embrace this concept of law and gospel?
I think it very much so is part of the Reformed tradition. I think Calvin, they speak about this in different footnotes when you're looking at the formula specifically, that John Calvin was very much so committed to saying, hey, law and gospel is real. Now, I can't quote to you exact portions of this, but that would be definitely something. I've seen conferences where they've had Reformed preachers come and speak about law and gospel. So I know that is part of the Westminster Confession. I know it's all part of that DNA. I can't speak to others, Roman Catholic theologians or others, but I do know that it is definitely part of that heartbeat of the Reformation, not only saved alone by Christ, but I would say law gospel distinction is very much so part of the Christian church at large.
I think that sounds like a special episode of Concord Matters.
Ooh.
Lord have mercy. That would be a lot of fun. That would be a lot of fun. Well, I'll let you know when I get to it.
Line up some folks from other traditions to hear where their confessions address that topic of law and gospel.
Yeah. There we go. Just made a show for you.
There you go.
And just to be very clear, in January, we had an ELCA theologian to talk about confessional subscription and a free Lutheran pastor to speak about that as well. And we're working on getting a Wisconsin Synod pastor and an ELS pastor to speak about it too, even though overall, we probably are very similar to the Wisconsin Synod and the ELS, but it's just a fun discussion to have. So go back to January, and that will also be something that we look forward to in the future.
All right. So next question on law and gospel for today. Why is law and gospel an article in the formula?
Well, and it really comes down to this. When you read, like talking about handling the word of truth, clearly that was something that Paul was very concerned about. During the Reformation, it specifically became down to something which was called, people were espousing called antinomianism. And there they claimed that there was no need for the law. Nomos means law, and obviously anti means anti the law. And we know this from Galatians chapter 3, so we should get rid of the law. Absolutely not. But it is very tempting when you first think about it. You think about, okay, law makes me feel sad. Gospel makes me feel happy. I want to be happy. Therefore, let's get rid of the law. Sounds good, doesn't it? But without the law, their gospel is not comprehensible. You can't really understand it because it's kind of like a cross without sin. It doesn't make any sense. Why would Jesus need to die if there was no sin? Why would I need to have a God who paid for me if there was no accusation or realization of sin? At the same time, very clearly in those days, it was something without the gospel. The law drives people to despair or makes them self-righteous like the Pharisees. And this was very clearly something prominent in the Catholic Church. that they would speak about the law and not about the mercy of God in Christ to sinners. So this is why you'll see that heartbeat throughout all of the confessions, to make sure it always goes back to the gospel. Even last week or last month, when we talked about good works, the reformers were always obsessed to make sure that people understood that even when you're talking about good works, that everything is centered and grounded in the gospel. And it stays very well in the epitome in section 7, that the gospel comforts consciences against the terrors of the law, points only to Christ's merit, and raises them up again by the lovely preaching of God's grace and favor gained through Christ's merit. Instead of looking to ourselves, and that's probably the best part of this whole month, is that section there, section 7 of the epitome. Instead of looking to ourselves for self-righteousness, which is so easy to do, we can say, oh, look what I did. No, we'll look at Christ and what he's done and the righteousness imputed to us through the cross and empty tomb.
We're talking about law and gospel in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness Confession Reading Plan. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates. At Concordia University, Nebraska, discover a distinctly Christian community that equips students to live by faith with courage, character, and conviction. Intentionally combining our Christian faith, Lutheran heritage, rigorous academics, and practical real-life experiences, we prepare students to fulfill a higher purpose in their vocations and life. Learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska at our website, cune.edu. That's cune.edu.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Brady Finnern, president of the LCMS Minnesota North District and host of Concord Matters right here on KFUO Radio, about the Confessions Reading Plan in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness. And we're talking about law and gospel in this issue. So let's talk about the gospel a little bit more, because it's important. What isn't the gospel?
Yeah, this is important for us as Christians, because very often we can hear something and assume it's a gospel, but it's not. We can hear a sermon and get through the whole thing and go, oh, it was a really good sermon. And then if you reflect on it, you say, oh, there was no gospel there. So when someone says, John the Baptist says, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's law. Even if Jesus said it as well, it's still law. Just because Jesus speaks doesn't mean it's all gospel, which is something I find interesting, that when you read certain books, that it will talk about how you need to be obedient to Christ, you need to love Jesus, you need to love God and love others. All of this we fully are in agreement with. That is true. But if there's no gospel in any of that, it just leads you to, like I said, either you say, yep, I've done it, I'm good to go, I don't need God, or I'm in complete despair, like Luther was during that time. A little more practical for today, the focus is on, if someone says, focus your attention on Jesus, good stuff, we believe it, but that's the law. Or someone says these words, very common, you'll hear it nowadays, all you have to do is. That's not language of gospel, that is law. We need it clearly, Ten Commandments. Even if, you know, if someone says all you need to do is the Eighth Commandment, then you know you're really in problem, because that, you know, we should do them all, not just one of them. But we need even clearer gospel. This is what the gospel is. And this is why I'm going to tell you right now, is you have to remember those words about the gospel. For example, for if while we were enemies and were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. This is Romans 5, verse 10. It is very clear. Gospel is that we are reconciled to God by the work of Christ. Like we talked last month about good works, the only good work that saves you is the good work of Jesus. So make sure you see that distinction very, very clearly. Who is driving the verbs? That's a Norman Nagelism right there. Yes. Who is driving the verbs? If you are, that ain't gospel. If it's Jesus, more than likely it's gospel. I think that's a guarantee, but I would have to check the Book of Concord more on that one. But yes, Jesus drives the verbs.
That ain't gospel.
Put that on a sticker.
There's your sound bite. So do you think in our culture today, or subculture, whatever you want to call it, that we're inclined to think that if something, when we're listening to a sermon or something churchy, that if it provides a solution or resolution, that it's gospel. If it provides an answer to something like these 10 steps that we talked about earlier, you know, if it answers a question or provides some resolution, then we just think it's gospel. You think
that is, that's a really good point, Andy. Because we want solutions. Now, to be a reminder to all of our listeners that this is nothing new. I mean, clearly, I mean, you read the confessions, same problem then. It's kind of like, okay, I have a problem. It's called purgatory. How do I get out of purgatory? Oh, you do this. Okay, problem solved. That ain't gospel, once again. And so we tend to do that, right? I need a job. What do I need to do? I need to apply here. I need an education. Where do I go? I go here. I have a problem and I need some help in the church. Where do I go? The district office or the Senate office? You know, that is, but that's still not the gospel. That's still the law. And it's very easy for my ears to, like, for example, we did our taxes in March and you feel so much better after you've done your taxes. Well, that doesn't mean taxes or completing your taxes is gospel. You get your FAFSA done. Like I mentioned, I have a daughter graduating, another daughter in college. Yeah, the solution to this is not gospel. It's simply that you fulfilled your responsibilities. But the gospel is that the law needs fulfillment. And who did it? Who accomplished it? Jesus did, not you or me.
Yes. Sometimes I think we pit law and gospel against each other, but that isn't the...
Like one is good and one is bad.
Yeah, that's right. Not the way either, right? Mm-hmm.
That is not the way. No, like I said, if gospel makes you feel good and law makes you feel bad, then therefore we should just have more gospel. Well, it's way too simplistic. But yeah, we have to make sure that we always have both in understanding that, well, I mean, gospel always wins, right? It is finished. There's a victory in Christ. But we sorely need the law as it is so clearly taught throughout Scripture.
Yeah, we actually have a hymn about that in our hymnal that we sing. The law of God is good and wise. That's...
And it's in the Bible, too, even better.
It's also in the Bible.
Yeah.
Oh, that, too.
I mean, yes.
Sorry, is there another hymn, Sarah, now that you're on your hymn talk? Any other hymns you got for us?
I mean, there's a whole section on the Word of God, and I think most of them probably say something about the law being good.
Ah. So, and that points us to next month. Look. Next month is the third use of the law. This is good. You know, it's going to be a good law. Yep.
Yes, yes. Can we talk about gospel reductionism for a second, too? Just because it's a concept that comes up when we get into certain discussions about our Lutheran history and other denominations or something. What is gospel reductionism? It's not something that we think is good, right?
Oh, yes. No, we do not think it is good. And it's so easy for us to do this as Christians, where we have such an overemphasis, and that's even weird to say because we don't want to act like you can give someone too much gospel. Like that in itself is not the right wording by any means. For example, when Luther begins his morning prayers, he talks about how that we will be pleasing, our lives may be pleasing at the end of the day, that he asks that the Lord would forgive him. And with Luther's prayers, and it's good for us to realize that, guess what? We need forgiveness every day. So don't act like I can only give forgiveness on Tuesdays or Sundays, but it's something we need every single day. So that's just, we have to remember that point. But it's an overemphasis of the gospel to the point of acting as if the law is no longer needed. And it also opens the door to reinterpreting parts of Scripture that are very clear. I'll give you an example. There are certain Lutheran church bodies that do not subscribe to the Book of Concord because it's in accordance with God's word. They would say that we subscribe to the Book of Concord because it is in accordance with the gospel. Mm. What that means is you can take out parts of what it says, including Scripture, because it doesn't align with what you would consider to be the gospel. So that's very important for your listeners, is that when someone says the gospel, one, if they don't mention Jesus's cross and empty tomb, That's number one issue. But number two, to say, you know what, we now think this is okay because it does not hinder the gospel, you should really have your dander up at that point, because they're usually trying to dismiss parts of the scriptures, not because Jesus fulfilled them. Like, you go to Leviticus, he fulfilled many of those ceremonial and governmental laws. Does not mean he took away the Ten Commandments or other parts of scripture that are still relevant for us today. Why? Because it was mentioned in the New Testament. And two, that Christ is one that continues to give us those laws for the sake of our, not for the sake of salvation, but for the sake of showing us how we are to live and also our need for repentance. So always to keep that in mind. Gospel reductionism, not good. Don't do it, Sarah. That's what I'm going to say.
Don't do it.
I'm going to take that off my list for this afternoon.
Exactly. Oh, it's May after all, you know, I should just, you know, be happy all the time. Yeah. Anyways.
Just kidding. That wasn't on my list for this afternoon.
No, it wasn't.
All law. That's all you do is all law on your list anyways. Yeah.
Key takeaways from this month's reading on law and gospel in the Lutheran Confessions.
First of all, the law is good. This is very clear, as Sarah mentioned, in our hymnody. It's very clear in the scriptures. The law always accuses, but that doesn't mean it's bad, because it always points us back to Jesus. And this is why next month is going to be so important for us, is to understand, as ones redeemed by Jesus, what does it mean to live according to the law? It's good stuff. I'm really looking forward to it. The gospel is good. It gives us a clear conscience that God has reconciled us back to himself by the blood of Jesus and his resurrection. So remember that they're both good, as we said. And the church is to clearly proclaim this gospel. One of the great joys I have right now as district president is that we are able to serve 196 congregations. And the more I visit these congregations, the more I'm astounded by the faith of God's people, that they, 155 years down to 20 years in our district, people gathered together and said, we want to set apart a place for the gospel. And for all of those years, they're quoting John 3:16, 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving to full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. And it speaks about other parts of scripture that I encourage you, our listeners, to always have on your lips, to be able to speak about that hope you have within you. Romans 5, 1 John 4, and this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. All of that to keep on your lips so that people will know the hope that they have in Christ.
The May issue of the Lutheran Witness, you can find the Confessions reading plan there. Our guest today, the Reverend Brady Finnern, president of the LCMS Minnesota North District and host of Concord Matters here on KFUO Radio. Pastor Finnern, thanks so much for spending this time with us in the Confessions today.
Thank you. God bless you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.